be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Let's open our minds and hearts now to the Word of God as Eric comes and shares with us.
Thanks. Good morning. Can you guys hear me okay? Failed to do a mic check. Rookie mistake there, but that's okay. Thank you all for being here. So, some of you may have seen this slide before. Some of you may have heard us talk often about TCC's vision for this next generation of training. Training up leaders within the community, as we see commissioned here in this text and in many other texts across God's Word. Or you may have heard about this idea of entrusted. We have a group of young men gathering together, five young men, and myself, so we'll say six. I'll count myself as a young man, right? No. Coming together around this vision called Entrusted, which really is around this idea of discipling next generation leaders here at Trinity over the course of the next year. So all this is true. All this is true. But there are biblical aspects of training that we see in this text, and again throughout the text, where training has application, implications, right? It applies for leaders. It applies for believers. Right? It applies for you. All right? All of this applies for you. So I am grateful for the opportunity to be here this morning up here. It's not very often my dad gives up his pulpit spot, especially on a week that he's here. So I am honored, I am humbled to have this opportunity to be before you guys this morning for being entrusted. See what I did there? Being entrusted, right? So it is a blessing for me to be here, but also is a blessing for me to have my dad in my life, right? Pastor Bruce is my dad, for you who don't know, or PB, as the young folk like to call him. But to me, he is an example of a spiritual leader. He is my example of a spiritual leader. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul says, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." So here Paul is urging an example of influence, rather than authority, right? This is the chief reason for why we are called to follow Paul's example, because of his emulation of Christ and who he is. So following Paul, as Paul himself looks to faithfully emulate Christ. So his faithfulness to Christ, Paul's faithfulness to Christ, to serve as an example for others. So my dad has emulated for me someone who desires to be faithful, right? Someone like Paul who has a deep understanding and believes God's truth and is looking to share that with those in his life, those around him, those that God has entrusted to him. So it is through his example, right, through his influence, that he has shown me that he is trustworthy with the gospel, right? And so I willingly follow him, not in who he is, but in who God is, right? So thank you for emulating that faithfulness. Yeah. So I want to reflect on another man who holds dear to me, who I think helps to emulate another aspect of this vision of entrusted that I'm going to be sharing with you today. So my family and I recently experienced the loss of my father-in-law. So early, beginning of this month of January, he passed away. But there was this common theme as family and friends gathered together to talk around him, about him. And that really was something that was common, or that I saw as common within these conversations, was his desire to instruct and to educate. So he was a doctor, right? He was a very well-established doctor who was well-loved, well-revered, appreciated for his knowledge. There were many people alongside him who valued who he was and how he went about teaching. But I would argue that isn't where he preferred to teach. Where he preferred to teach was in front of a charcoal grill, right? This was his spot. So he wasn't your typical griller. He saw this as a time to entertain you, a time to educate you, and for you to have an all-out experience in front of this grill. And every time he fired up this grill, people gathered. People gathered around him. So for those of you who could step into his self-titled apprenticeship of being an official taste tester, you had opportunities to be taught. So you were now available to learn the tricks of his trade. So to those who were able to share in his wisdom of grilling, these 3 points were shared by his brother Chris at his memorial service. Number one, hone your craft. And that meant lots and lots of Gates barbecue sauce, right? Two, taste tests are encouraged. Scratch that, required. You gotta have the taste testing. And three, once it's off the grill, ready to be served, you always eat last. Always eat last. And then there's one more aspect I'd like to reflect on from my personal life that hopefully can serve as an example for you around this vision of entrusted. So I'm a father. For those who don't know, I have 6 kids. Here that I get to parent, right? Lots of experiences with parenting and dealing with different situations. But there is a joy that comes from a teaching moment with a child that I really, really value. But it's not just any child. This is a child who is willing. Willing to listen. Willing to take a moment of correction. Willing to learn from this difficult self-reflection, to be teachable. So it's something that I think that we all value as we instruct others, right? This could be a teacher, right, as they are in the classroom. This could be a manager as they're training up their employees. Anyone who holds knowledge and expertise values an individual who appreciates truth being shared to them, right? Do we appreciate that? When we hold on to something that is valuable, we appreciate people being willing to be taught, to be teachable. So we're going to reopen to 2 Timothy 2:2 here as we move into today's text. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, "And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrusted to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Would you pray with me? Lord God, as we reflect on your word, God, we pray that your spirit would put upon us the desires of what you are calling us to, God, that we would take the implications presented, God, as opportunities to live in a way that is holy and pleasing to you. God, I thank you for this time. So for those of you that are unfamiliar with 2 Timothy, as my dad had noted, this was written by Paul. So Paul was writing this from a prison in Rome. He was writing from Rome to Timothy, who was in Ephesus, or the region of Ephesus, in one of these churches that was planted there, looking to raise up leaders. So Paul is speaking to Timothy as a friend. He's speaking to him as a mentor. He's speaking to him as a man who is nearing the end. And to know the full story of Paul, just going to slip this in here, the book of Acts is a great book to look to the example that Paul set as he looked to establish churches, establish leaders, to establish believers, to share the gospel. So though Paul was nearing the end of his life here on earth, he had hope. Paul had hope not in the seen, but in the unseen, in a Savior, in Jesus, right? So this encourages him to keep running the race that was set before him. This hope is why he is writing to Timothy, right? This is why he is prioritizing what he deems as important, something that he sees as vital. So what we see implied here, what we see implied throughout this letter, what we see implied throughout all 13 of Paul's letters to the early church, Timothy is receiving from Paul what he has heard from Paul. And that is the gospel. And that is how you are called to live. But this isn't isolated teaching, right? This wasn't like, he didn't come over, hey, I'm going to tell you something, but don't tell anybody, right? This is in the presence of many witnesses. This isn't something that he's isolating. This is something that others can give an account for and be like, yeah, Timothy, I remember when Paul told you that. This is something that was shared and community-oriented. This is church-oriented living. And Paul wanted to grow what he was teaching to Timothy by entrusting. Right, so the word entrusted, if you look at it in the Greek context, there are different ways in which it could be translated. It could be set before, it could be commit or to be committed, it could be commanded. Jesus himself actually used this very word in Luke 23:46 as he hung on the cross. Luke 23:46 says, "Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, 'Father, into your hands I commit.'" Paratithemi, commit my spirit. "And having said this, he breathed his last. I commit my spirit. This was freely given, committed to the cause that was set before him." This word entrusted seems to carry a weight of surrender, a surrender to self. Philippians 2:8 says, "And being found in human form, he," being Jesus, "humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." So Timothy heard from Paul, right? And he was called to entrust what he had learned from Paul to who? To others, but not just anybody, right? To faithful men. So this word faithful in the Greek, we can see it again used and translated pistos, which could be reliable. It could be trustworthy. It could be believers. Believers in what? What are they believing in, right? They are believing in what has been entrusted to them. And then we see this word men. So in the Greek, this is translated a few ways. It's sometimes used as men, human, people, mankind, anyone. So this call to be faithful, this call to be faithful is available to everyone, right? This is a command for everyone. It is expected of anyone, anyone who believes, who is committed to take up and hold to the truth of the gospel, who has publicly declared who they are in Christ, who holds to the truth of the Bible, who has been given the gift of the Holy Spirit, who holds the desire to be faithful as a gift that's been entrusted to them. This is not reserved for some who believe. It is a commission to all who believe. And what exactly is it that all who believe, all believers are called to do? To be able to teach others also. So this good news of the gospel, the way that we are called to live as a believer, we, you, are called to be able to teach others. Now, some of you may look and be like, well, Eric, I know that this book was written to Timothy, and Timothy was a leader. I would say, yes, he was, but let's look to Matthew 28, 18 to 20, because we are seeing a reoccurring pattern here of this instruction to teach. So here we have Jesus, who is before a multitude of people just before he's ascending up into the clouds here. And Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So this verse here is often referred to as the Great Commission. Right? So what is it that makes it great? Well, it's good. It's important. It carries a need for all to go and make disciples. So this is a partnership in the endeavor of advancing the gospel. Faithful men who have been entrusted, who have the understanding to teach others. Now, what are the implications when we choose to live, when we choose to live out what we see commanded here? What do we see? What will be the fruit of this labor? I would say multiplication, right? We will see multiplication as the gospel is preserved for the coming generations. Is that what you desire? I was up here last night practicing for today. And as I was here thinking, I thought back around our Christmas Eve service. And for those of you that have taken part in this, one of the elements of this is that everybody gets a candle. Right, so we all are holding this candle, and you hold it, and it's just there, and you maybe rip it apart a little bit as you're sitting there, but at the end of service, we come together, and that one candle up here, I think it's been Pastor Bruce for the last 28 years here, right? He comes in, and he lights that candle, right? And he comes down these steps, and he lights one, maybe two, maybe three. And then he steps back, right? But it doesn't stop there, right? Because these one, two, three people, whoever they are, they turn around and they share it, right? And then you see this amazing effect of if it just grows. And then all of a sudden, this room is illuminated with this light. And as I reflect on what that represents, right, that is what we are called to do, right? We have this light inside of us, and we are called to turn around and share it, to simply share it, right? And trust, right, that wick is going to light by the working of the Spirit. Others are going to receive. It's that simple. Now, what are the implications of going and choosing not to light the candle, right? To not proclaim, to not pass on. It's darkness. So for me, it is imperative that we pass this on, because otherwise the gospel is not received. Future generations do not know. People are lost. So, what is our response? What is your response to ensure that the gospel is preserved for the coming generations? I would say that it is a willingness. A willingness for those who lead to care for those around them. And so I would ask you a few questions, right? You leaders, as you reflect here, are you investing into your relationship with your Lord and Savior? Are you living according to Christ's example? Are you dwelling in God's Word? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you? Are you seeking out and investing others who have a desire to grow in their faith? Are you seeking those who are faithful, available, teachable? And if not, what would it take for you to do this? What would that look like for you? And for those of you who are like, I'm not a leader, some of you, I would argue, and I would say, yes, you are. A leader is someone who has the ability to pass on to someone else. I think a lot of times we think of leadership as an authority position. I would say that it is not authority, but it is the influence that you have on others. Right? Authority rules over. Influence comes into the life of that person, invests into that person, instills in that person. Who do you have influence over? But for those of you who, again, just are like, I don't see that in me, are you willing to be led? Are you willing to be led? Again, are you invested into your relationship with Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? Are you living according to Christ's example? Are you spending time in God's Word? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you in the choices that you're making and the decisions? See the trend between those two? Same implications. Okay, are you living as one who is reliable and trustworthy? Are you faithful? Are you positioning yourself in a way that you are prioritizing your faith? Are you available? Are you willing to be instructed, encouraged, corrected? Ouch. Are you teachable? And to the community, church, are we encouraging one another to live out what has been commanded? Are we encouraging each other to be intentional? Intentional in what? In the way that we are living, in the way that we are investing, in the way that we are seeking out what God has for us and who He has placed in our life. Are we encouraging each other in a pursuit of this faithfulness that we see here? Are we encouraging each other to be available? Are we willing to sacrifice so they can make time for others? Are we willing to teach others and receive from others God's teaching? Are we being generous with what God has provided? Are you being generous with what God has provided you with and what God has gifted to you? Are you willing? So I'd like to take a moment, if you would, and do some self-reflection here. I'm going to read through a few questions. I'd love for you to just join me in silence as you reflect upon these questions, and then we'll transition to prayer. Faithful. Are you faithfully living out what God has called you to, or what God is calling you to? Available. Are you making time? What are your priorities? I want you to reflect on what you truly value. And I would say that what you truly value is often easily determined by how you spend your time. What are the rhythms of your life? What are you choosing to make time for? Teachable. Are you willing to receive His word, the Holy Spirit's leading, the counsel of those that you have been entrusted to? And all the while looking to God for His strength in the midst of your weakness. Do not be discouraged. Do not be discontent. Trust. Trust in the slow work of God as He moves in you and through you. Would you guys pray with me? Dear Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to gather here today, God. God, I thank you for the faithfulness of others that we have heard and that we know, and that we can hold on to your truth and who you are. God, I thank you for those who made time to invest into me from when I was young to a teenager to a young adult now. God, I thank you for those who make time in this community, God, that are willing to sacrifice, to be inconvenienced, to share your truth, to spread your love, to honor what you have commanded. God, I thank you for men and women who are willing to receive. God, I pray that whatever was put upon the heart of each individual here today, God, that they would put that into action. I find it so easy to reflect and to be convicted, but to do nothing. God, I just pray that as we looked to your word, God, and as you stirred within us whatever that was, God, that we would not push that aside, but that we would prioritize, you and your calling on our lives. God, I thank you and I pray this in your name. Amen.
Could we please stand for the closing song? It's a song by Phil Lager, who I think he may have written this song when he was here at Trinity. He led worship here for a number of years, and it's just a great song to wrap up today with, called Well Done.
There is a reason.